Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
It's the Growing in Grace podcast. Joel Breezek here, Mike Kepler there. We are getting together as we have done for a long time, and it's been a good long time. It's been really good. Podcast talking about the love and the grace of God. Hopefully, here to bring you some encouragement. And you know, that's what we've been doing. That's why we get together for these chats every week, to provide some encouragement about God's love and grace, to talk things over, to share perspectives. And we know that not every single person in the world, almost everybody, but not everybody in the world agrees with us in the things that we say. But you can feel free to listen in. Share your thoughts online with us if you want. I know YouTube is a good place. We're available on YouTube Podcasts. Also, of course, Apple Podcasts and used to be called Google Podcasts, but YouTube Podcasts, Pandora. What else is there? Spotify. All those places. And don't forget to like and subscribe. What's up with you, Mr. Kepler?
Well, I'll tell you what's up with me. If there's some things you don't agree with us on, join the club. I'm a member of that club. I don't even agree with myself sometimes. I have come to the place, we kind of joked around a little bit about this before, but I've come to the place where I've disagreed with myself. Stuff that, of course, this has been really a big part of the whole process ever since coming across the Grace Bridge, right? We're always finding these things that we see differently. We begin to think differently about the many things and the talking points and the assumptions that are predominant throughout much of Christianity and church denominations suddenly take on a whole new meaning sometimes when God begins to show something in a different way. And I don't know. You know, this has been a pretty harmonious podcast here between me and Joel. One of these weeks, maybe starting today.
maybe not.
We might see things a little differently. And yeah, I remember years ago, Joel, talking off the podcast, off the air, about, you know, it's okay for us to see things differently if it comes across that way on the podcast. We're just here to provide some thoughts and let people do what they want with it. But it's never really gone that direction.
Right.
But hang in there. We're getting older. We're getting a little more grouchy, a little more ornery, a little more stubborn.
Stay off my lawn. Stay off my perspective.
You know, years ago, I don't have to say when it was, because some of you seasoned people out there will remember the era. But when I was a young teenager, there was a song out called Don't Fear the Reaper, Blue Oyster Cult, right? That was a huge song. I mean, that song was on every 5 minutes. And you still hear it today on classic rock radio.
And every single one of our listeners just said, there, they said it. That song needs more cowbell.
Anyway, back to the story. There was this girl that I knew. She was a couple years older than me, and she, I don't know how to describe her, Joel, but let's just say she was probably pretty free with the things that she did. And she found out that Don't Fear the Reaper was the name of the song when, for ages, I guess, considering the number of times she'd heard it, she thought it was Don't Fear the Reefer, like like the stuff you smoke.
Oh, my.
And she was so disappointed that it
she
wasn't
was disappointed
called
in that.
Don't Fear the Reefer.
Oh, my.
And I thought that was funny. That after all these years, that stuck in my head. But there's a parallel here that I'm going with this, and that is we got a lot of well-meaning Christians out there who have these talking points and these catchphrases and these assumptions and these things that get repeated frequently within the language of Christianity, different Bible verses and things that get misapplied, and we think a verse or a passage might mean this, and then we find out, oh, that's what it really means? You know, and that was the exciting part of coming into grace for a lot of us, but many people today will resist that and almost be disappointed that what they thought turned out to be better news than what they thought. So,
yeah,
I think one of those, for example, I'm just throwing this out there, God is the author of the Bible. You ever heard that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's the author with a capital A. And I don't know where we get that. I know where people are coming from with it, and I understand the concept, but I don't really think it's true. So disagree with me. Go ahead.
Did you hear everybody gasp? Maybe if we added some cowbell.
I thought that was you.
That was me and everybody else. But I think if we just add some cowbell to what you just said, everyone would be fine. Needs more cowbell. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Cowbells?
Yeah. Don't fear the reaper. Don't tell me you don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The Saturday Night Live sketch where they're doing Don't Fear the Reaper.
I don't know this one.
Oh, my
word. I stopped watching that show when it wasn't funny anymore.
Well, this was... Oh, my word. Bruce, it's one of the most famous Saturday Night Live sketches ever.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. With, what's his name?
See, we're already disagreeing.
Christopher Walken's on it. And he plays Bruce Dickinson. It's a fictitious character, but so the group, they're played by like Jimmy Fallon, Chris Kattan, Horatio Sanz, and of course Will Ferrell. And so they're doing the tune. They're in the recording studio doing "Don't Fear the Reaper," and then Bruce Dickinson or Christopher Walken, he stops them. He says, "This song's got to have more cowbell." You got to watch it. You got to see it. When we're done here, you got to go watch that video. Because everybody right. else who's listening knows what I'm talking about. And you, of all people.
Brother.
You, of all people, should know.
Well, the only thing I know about cowbells is that we're in Iowa, and they're everywhere. You can't even go to a sporting event without people ringing cowbells.
I got to have more cowbell. It's
all right.
It's famous.
So, God, the author of the Bible. What do you think?
Well, so let's see if this might be where you're coming from, and I know where this idea probably comes from. Paul's talking to writing to Timothy, or at least this is part of where it comes from. He says all Scripture is God breathed or inspired by God, and is useful for various different things, and so the idea, I think, that a lot of people get from that. What I've heard as I've grown up in the church and have, been talking with a lot of different people, the idea is that, so God then is the author. If it's God breathed, if it's inspired by God, that means basically that when the writers were writing, he was inspiring every single word. And, I know it's easy to think that way, but is that really actually what it says? And again, you can turn off the podcast and, whatever you want to do. we are just sharing some thoughts here.
But we'll be here when you come back.
But it does not say it. We will be here. We'll leave the light on for you. That's not what it says. It's the way that people have taken it to mean. And even for one thing, when Paul did say that, if you look in the verse before that, Paul actually talks about he mentions what he's talking about. He's not saying that his own epistles are written by God. He's not saying that any. He tells Timothy, from your youth, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. And all scripture, that's the context. All scripture is God-breathed, inspired. He's talking about the Old Testament scriptures. But even then, he's not saying that they were written by God. I mean, we know that Moses wrote some. We know that there are lots of different authors. And just because they were inspired or God-breathed, does that mean that God actually wrote them, that God actually dictated every word? You can actually see all kinds of things within the scriptures that God did not say that. God did not write that. That was, I think that the general gist of all of this is that God was there inspiring, you know, these things, but it doesn't mean that everything within them was from his exact mindset. You know, he used human beings to do this, and you see human beings making all kinds of mistakes. It doesn't mean that the scriptures aren't reliable. It doesn't mean we can't trust them. It just means that God used fallible people in the writing of a lot of these things, and it doesn't mean that everything within them was written by him. I don't know. Where do you want to go with this? What are you thinking?
Well, let me go to Hebrews 12.
For our two listeners who are left.
Oh, come on. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Let me go to a different translation. That's a good one. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So it is faith of which God is the author of, the completer of, the originator of, the finisher of our faith. I would also say the initiator of our faith and the finisher. Jesus, the author of faith. Let's see. I got something else. He's also the author of life, Acts 3:15. He's the author of salvation, Hebrews 2:10. But, you know, this idea that we want to assign God as the author of the Bible, I get where they're coming from. I just don't agree with it. I used to, but I see it so, it's just one of those things that I believe God has shown me something different with all of this. And as you said, Joel, I want it to be clear that the scriptures, as we call them, those writings that are contained in this compilation that we have nicknamed the Bible, it is reliable. It contains truth. It doesn't necessarily mean that God was providing dictation to these human authors as they subscribed it from the very mouth of God. Because to me, that concept, that assumption that people have taken as an absolute truth has probably resulted in more atheists, young people who have gone to college and got under an unbelieving professor who used those pages, sometimes probably out of context, sometimes not, but all of a sudden, a lot of young believing Christians get in these classes and have their world blown apart because they thought, because why? Because the professor is smart enough to know that some of what's in there isn't perfect, it's not error-free. There are some things written in there that clash a little bit with something else that's being said. It doesn't mean it's true. The one example I heard a friend of ours give is that if there's a bank robbery and there are witnesses of that bank robbery, it happens real fast. Some people might have saw a blue car drive away. Some saw a red car drive away. Some saw them wearing different things. They describe them at different height. they didn't, you know, the witnesses maybe didn't see or they didn't recall everything perfectly, but that doesn't mean the bank robbery didn't happen.
Right.
And so sometimes we see these things in there that we think that there can't be any kind of conflicts within these pages or any kind of discrepancies at all. And then when we find out there are, then people feel like their faith is being strained. And so let's come back to faith. Let's come back. I mean, even another nickname for I already mentioned the Bible as a nickname, but another nickname for the Bible is the Word. And I don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. But when you hear people refer to the Word, they're always referring to the Bible, almost always. When I believe we're into something better and beyond just writings like other religions. We have a living Savior. Jesus is the Word. He's the ultimate Word. I know, as we've talked about in the past, Joel, we can use the word and apply it in a number of different ways. But not everything in the Bible was God speaking.
Right.
And I know some will say, but it was given by inspiration. And by the way, given by inspiration, using some King James, New King James lingo there, that's a little bit different, really, than being inspired. Because if you're going to say everything in there is inspired, when the Pharisees said that Jesus had a demon, that's not God speaking, right? It's true the Pharisees said that, so it was given by inspiration in that sense. It's true that the Pharisees said that. I'm throwing a lot of things out there right now, but I think my main focus here, Joel, is more about God isn't just the author of the Bible. As much as we appreciate it, as much as we can be relied upon, as much as the truth in which it contains and points people to Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, life, and salvation. That's what God is the author of.
Well, but don't you know the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit.
I'll let you take that one from
joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's Hebrews 4. Well, a lot of people use that talking, saying that means that the Bible, the Bible is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword.
I've said that before.
I've said it before too, but when you get to the part that says "and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart," how can the Bible discern my thoughts and intents? The Bible can't do that. The written words can't do that. The Word of God, if you look at this in context here, at this passage just up above, he's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God in this particular passage. It's talking about Jesus, not about written words, not about the Bible. Not mocking the Bible. I'm just saying, obviously, we don't mock the Bible. We have used the scriptures, the Bible, on this podcast for many years, and we always will. And we're just saying that a lot of times when it says the Word of God, in fact, none of the times where it says Word of God, my PC Bible here says 47 verses where the phrase Word of God is used, and none of them are referring to the Bible. It might be referring to something that God said, the Word of God came to these people or whatever, or it might be referring a lot of times to Jesus himself, but it's never referring to the Bible. I think that's where some people get their ideas about all of this stuff. And, we spent a lot of time already on this one. We'll pick up on some more of this stuff, because I have some issues with some things that you said, and we really got to get to that. let's carry on with talking about faith, the Word of God, the Bible. And this is, it's good. We're not mocking it, but we love having the scriptures. We refer to the scriptures often. I think if you understand where we're coming from, then you can see that we're very happy that we have the Bible. So we'll talk some more about this next week right here on Growing in Grace.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.